Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Nancy Ryan. Ryan rocks it, Asbury Park style. Another show. Here we go. I am so excited to be here. Every single show that I have is really monumental for me because I love broadcasting. Now, I did a wonderful promotion for this gentleman, and I have asked him several times to please come on my show, and he's a very busy, busy man because he is a restaurateur, an accomplished musician, he's a humanitarian, and he's just got, he's a busy, busy person. So, without further ado, I'm not going to keep you guessing, and you've probably all seen it because you know I promote worldwide. Welcome, Mr. Tim McClune of McClune's Supper Club, McClune's in Asbury Park on the Boardwalk. Welcome to my show.
Well, thanks, Nance. I appreciate it. I didn't know you were speaking about me there for a moment. It sounded like a wonderful person.
No, it was definitely about you. And it's not just one restaurant. It's restaurants in everywhere. Where are my spectacles? Let's see, my spectacles tell my age. I was aware you had several, but in Long Branch, I know the one in Long Branch, of course, and then Red Bank and
Village, yeah.
Falls and Seabright and other New Jersey locations. So that,
well, you know, I had one. Yeah, I had one, our original, the Rum Runner in Seabright, for 17 years, and I was extremely content.
Oh, okay.
Content,
well,
but,
that name's very familiar to me.
But my children started approaching college age, and I realized that they were not going to go to the college of their choice based on what was going on in Seabright. So we started looking around, and the second one we had was is the Pier House in Pier Village right on the ocean. And then it just seemed like kind of a natural thing. It seemed like a natural thing to go down to Asbury Park because, like a lot of people, I think I have a nostalgic and kind of a romantic notion of Asbury. And we felt that if we were even, you know, 1/10 of 1/100 of a percent helpful in that city coming back, and boy, is it coming back like crazy. It's been fabulous. So we somehow ended up, we kept going, and we ended up with 11 places. Not always wildly successful, may I say, but it's been a lot of fun. The people that run my company with me, Tim McMahon and Christy Hensel and Lauren Coto and other wonderful people, Claudia Castillo. It's a lot of women, by the way. We have mostly female employees, which I think is kind of interesting. But the
very hard workers.
They're wonderful people.
And very dependable.
You hate to stereotype people, but I think that there is truth to that. I think that the female of the species tend to put a little bit more passion into the business and worry more about people. There's always that sort of mothering instinct.
Right,
that still
it's the
comes
nurturing.
Through.
You took the words. Excuse me, go ahead.
And we are in the hospitality business. That's what we do. So it seems to me it's kind of natural that it kind of worked out that way. The first one was my wife, actually. I always said that when I married her, I lost my best manager. But that's in a way that's how it started. She was such a spectacular manager in the business, and we just sort of kept going from there. So I would say in our front office and our in restaurant management positions, it's probably 80% female.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Right. Right. Well, it's funny that you say that, too, because, well, I was raised in Asbury Park. I went to school to Holy Spirit Grammar School with Vinnie Lopez, and then I went to Asbury Park High School for 1 year. But I was in Asbury every single day. In fact, my dad was superintendent of the Carroll Construction Company, so he had a lot to do. He even refurbished the Berkeley Carteret, my dad, and he had a lot to do. He was a boat builder first for 13 years, Ryan C. Skiffs. And so he was in convention hall every year for the boat shows. But to make a long story short, I'm the oldest girl, and there's seven. My grandmother lived on Bond Street in Asbury Park. And then going to Holy Spirit, you know, I was in Asbury every single day, and then I ice skated. So I am totally attached. I am a Jersey girl, born and bred, Asbury Park, New Jersey, attitude girl. Redheaded, too. But and I find it so... I'm very proud of it. I'm very proud of it, and a lot of people want to know. I mean, I've been through the good and the bad. But anyway, getting back to you, Tim, I was, I always go, the first thing I do when I have a guest on, and of course I did know about you because I had been in your club so many times, and when I spoke with your assistant, Virginia, and she was so, so nice, And we had a long conversation, and she was surprised when I told her how many shows of yours that I had promoted, and that you're probably unaware that I had promoted, and it was because each and every one of these entertainers had been on my show, and they are, and I'll do it fast. It was Willie Nile and James Maddock, Ray Anderson, J.T. Bowen, that's just a few. And so every time you had a show there, in fact, I got a great message from Mark Ribler saying, "Nancy, you are awesome," because he was seeing you know him all over the place about him writing the CD, all of the music for JT's CD. So it was kind of like in the background to some people, but little by little, everyone is getting to know me as the, they call me the promo queen now, but that's okay. I don't mind. It's fine. I wanted to ask you a question, since this show is about, I wrote the show, and I don't know where it came from, out of the blue, and it's about childhood memories and how they influenced you to becoming who you are today. And so that's my question, is if there's anyone in particular that you feel really strongly influenced you on your journey to becoming who you are, which is so many things, so many hats that you wear.
Yeah, because I'm old.
Me too.
I mean, there's no simple answer to it, but I was very fortunate. I had great parents, you know. We had a very non-confrontational house. I mean, it was, I can remember a lot of my childhood friends liking hanging out at our house because my parents were so nice. And, you know, I always tell people that who say nice things about me and the whole philanthropic thing, and I tell people all the time, if you liked me, you would have loved my dad. I mean, he was a special person. It's funny because when I went to see the movie, the Jackie Robinson movie, it was called 42 because that was his number. And I remember sitting there thinking, oh, God, I wish I could call my father right now, you know, and because he loved Jackie. And so, you know, you start with that. And then I was very fortunate along the way. My high school track coach, believe it or not, a guy named Bill Persichetti, who was a world record holder in track himself, and he was a history teacher at my high school, Seton Hall Prep. And I was this chubby underage kid because actually, sadly, in our house, my brother had really catastrophic polio as a youngster, and there was no such thing as daycare.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know, it's all right. But my parents shipped me off at the age of four to an all-day kindergarten in Staten Island because there was just no other way to handle it. So I'm getting on a bus at 4 years of age, right? But so when I showed up at high school, I was only 13 years old. And I was actually overweight. And I don't know what it got into my head that I would actually go out for cross country and track. But I met this great man who turned my life, you know, physically as well as emotionally, and really taught me so many things. And he and my dad became close friends through the experience, you know. And then he sends me off to college, and I meet a man named Bill McCurdy, who I ran for there, you know, for 4 years. And these two men over that eight-year thing really, I think, had a lot to say about what I was like. And the only other thing that comes to my mind right this second is that when I was a sophomore going into junior year in high school at Seton Hall, there was a priest in our school who sent me to a thing called YCS. And that became YCLI later on, Young Christian Leaders Institute. Sounds horrible in its own way. And they told me, no, you're going to a monastery for a week in the summer. And I'm not going. I am really not going. And it changed my life. And when you talk about those moments in your life that actually alter things, it's usually not true. Things usually take place, you know, over a period of time. But I went to that thing for a week, and it was run by all these radical priests and nuns, like Paul Simon's Me and Julio. When the radical priest came to get me, I'll tell you, we may not have been on the cover of Newsweek, but that priest changed my life, absolutely. It was almost like a really socialistic, Bernie Sanders would have loved it. It was a very socialistic circumstance where everybody waited on everyone else, and we all...
Yeah.
It was a kumbaya thing. In this case, it was literally kumbaya. We literally did think kumbaya. And it just opened my eyes to a bigger world. And I came back from that summer week, 1 week, so changed. It was remarkable. And maybe that's what can happen with a 15-year-old that I was at the time.
Right.
And I think those people sort of pointed me in that direction. So between my mom and dad and my two track coaches and that crazy week up at St. Paul's Monastery.
Mm. Well, you had, yeah.
It made things
happen.
Yeah,
you had
didn't tell me a damn thing about the restaurant business.
Pardon me?
No, I'd say it didn't help me at all, the restaurant business, but
that came along
much later.
Well, I'll tell you, though, what a wonderful, so many wonderful influence in your life and such great, like you said, the epiphany of being with the YSL, the YCS, rather, or YCLS that you went to. I had an experience much later in life than that. And, well, first of all, I shouldn't say that. Kindergarten, I was going down the stairs of Holy Spirit Grammar School into the basement, and I spent 11 years at Holy Spirit Grammar School from my kindergarten all through eighth grade, and then I went to Star of the Sea Academy in Long Branch, and then I was in a ministry for a total of 11 years in San Diego. I left in my early 30s, and I went to work for a Presbyterian church for a paid position for 6 years, and then I volunteered later with, and this is the most wonderful experience of my life probably, I spent 5 years with the Franciscan monks in over 200-year-old mission called the Mission San Luis Rey. And when you said that about serving each other and, you know, really loving everyone and being helpful to everyone, it certainly does change your whole attitude toward people become more than just a face or what they do in their life. They become, children of God, like, we're, you know, and it's I loved it. And it was a volunteer position. And I would handwrite all these birthday cards and send them out every month. And we had a huge congregation, a huge parish. So I'd do like 180, sometimes 200 Christmas cards every month. I mean, birthday cards, and then put a little card and a little gift in there. And I was also on I was the secretary for the board of directors. And I had more fun because I'm a very kind of pushy Roman Catholic, Irish Catholic, hard-headed girl from Asbury. So when I would read the minutes, someone would raise their hand and say, "But Nancy, what about this that we talked about?" And I would go, "Oh, no worries. No, don't worry about that. I know it's not in the minutes, but it's okay." Pastor used to look at me, and he would like, and they just really liked me because I had this personality to where, oh, it's cool, everything's fine, and we're here to have lots of fun, because I'm a kind of fun girl. Girls just want to have fun. I mean, I would do the important things, but it was up to me. Like, I could leave things out if I wanted, so I took every opportunity of having that control. But I'm the oldest girl of seven anyway, so I learned early, you know, to take care of my brothers and sisters because my parents were out and doing their thing. But anyway, getting back to you, Tim, I'm so thrilled that you're finally on my show because I've been bugging you, you know, every time I would see you. Tim, do you know this person? Oh, they're my friend. Oh, Tim, my brother, you know him? I want you, because I was trying to convince you. You know me a little, right? Come on my show.
Absolutely.
Oh, and then that night I got up and sang with Bobby B. He lets me sing, and I've sung with Willie Nile. And my song that I do, I don't know if you even listened to my CD, but I sang Blue Suede Shoes because I said, "Bobby, can I sing?" You know, and he goes, "Yeah," gave me the "come on up, come on up." And I had done Blue Suede Shoes before, and then afterwards you go, "Where'd that come from?" I didn't know if you enjoyed it or if you thought it was weird.
No,
or
it was
what.
Great. No,
yeah,
great.
You liked it. That's good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm glad. But I don't know how you do it all. Oh, and I'm so happy that I could have you on my show, because this is how I really got down on making sure that I had you on, is because I happened to peruse the it was listed in the Word, it's called. It's called wordontheshore.com, and it came across either in an email to me or, I don't know, online somewhere, and it's talking about Long Branch to honor Tim McClune. And so I thought, what a perfect time to interview you is a week before this wonderful event. And so please tell us about this.
No, I was going to say, I get way too much credit, so it's just...
Oh, you do?
I really do.
Oh, come on.
It's wonderful, you know, but it's embarrassing too, because
You give so much, and you know, I think You give a, yeah, but you give a lot, and I think that it's wonderful. And yet that just shows your humility. So you must have gotten that humility as well from all the priests. And that's
but
a really
good
thing.
But look at it this
thing.
Way. Yeah, look at it this way, though, because, I mean, the primary thing that has gotten people's attention is our charitable group Holiday Express, you know, which I started back in 1993.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Right,
yeah,
Holiday
and,
Express.
And I admit that it was my idea. And so the whole point, what Holiday Express is, we started in 93, and we just finished our 23rd year. And in the beginning, it was very small. It was one of those typical things that comes out of my kitchen. And I would sit at my kitchen table and call all the musicians, and the idea was that we would go to places that if we were not there during the holidays, they would get little or no attention. And it took us a while to find them, because the places that need the most help are not exactly hiring PR companies to help with things. And
exactly.
So we found our way to soup kitchens and homeless shelters and AIDS hospices and long-term residential psychiatric facilities, which we go to. And most of the people we see are what you could refer to as adult orphans, who basically have no family. They're either they've outlived their caregivers, or they were estranged from them. And very often it was because of drug-addled behavior, and whatever the reasons were, it's what happened. And or in many cases, it was just poverty. That what would be normal for you and me, if someone in our family was hospitalized, we'd go visit every day. Well, some people actually can't even afford to do that.
Right.
So at any rate, that was the whole idea. We were going to bring the biggest Christmas party. We specifically call it Holiday Express because we are totally non-denominational. We're all about Santa, you know. We're just trying to have a big party, and
exactly.
We don't want to insult anyone, you know. And I happen to be, despite what Mr. Trump would say, I happen to be a big fan of political correctness, because I think it's just people taking pause to acknowledge that there's something out there outside of yourself. And I can see why he's not a fan of it, because he says whatever he wants to say about people. But for those of us who are concerned about things, we call it holiday. So whatever that means to you. And the express part was, I came to understand early on that one of the biggest problems that people we see is they don't have transportation. So, many of them can't use transportation, but some of them can't afford it either. So we got together. We have about 110 musicians, all people who have had to sing for their supper at some point in their life. And then we've got probably another 500 adult volunteers. And last year we did 81 events. We saw about 25,000 people in very
incredible.
Small venues. And everybody gets a gift bag that's packed and with all probably about $100 worth of stuff in it. And we just throw the biggest party we can. It's about 2.5 to 3 hours. Jersey Mike's subs in particular and the Windmill people have all been extraordinarily generous with us, providing food, people at Merrymakers, and quite honestly, my own restaurant group. And we just try to give them as big a party as they could possibly have. And I used to really worry about it, because I felt like we really weren't accomplishing anything, because we don't cure diseases, you know, and we're not building buildings, and we're not paying people's rent. But I underestimated in the beginning, I guess, what it meant from a humanistic standpoint.
Oh, what you're doing
for
the soul and the spirit of each person that you touch is like, that's monumental. That's what it's about. That's what it's about, lessening the burdens of others. I mean, that's what Jesus said. I was in ministries for 11 years and 22 years total, Catholic school and ministries. I could become a nun at this point in my life. I'm single forever. But, it's true. It's like when you can lift the spirits and be there and enrich someone's soul that is so, in desperate need of that human touch and love, what more can you give than of yourself? Tim, and I know you're humble and you don't want all this credit. Also, I want to put my name down as a volunteer if I can be of any assistance to you whatsoever.
Of course.
I'll call Virginia and tell her. It's funny because when I did the promo, I had someone say, but Nancy, what about you? You forgot to mention Holiday Express. So I put, well, thank you for your comment, Terry, but I'm going to have Tim tell you all about it. And you beat me to the punch, because that was my next question. First, I was going to ask you about the Shirleys, because I know that you started that group.
We can do that, too.
And then I was going to ask you about the Holiday Express.
Yeah, my point about Holiday Express is that I just get all this credit. And what I was saying is that there are almost literally 1,000 people that make Holiday Express go now.
Right.
I mean, it was, it was my idea, and I got it started, but hell, I don't even know what's going on 2/3 of the time now. It's just like, I'm back, as I always say to people, I'm back in the band. because at every event we do, we bring a band. And, you know, many people that are there have never heard live music in person.
Oh,
or if they have,
it's been
a long time. And probably our average size band at these events is probably between 12 and 15 pieces. Something
right.
you would never do in regular life. But there'll be like piano, bass, drums, a couple of guitar players, three horn players, and eight singers. And
right, that's
we just
wonderful.
Do this rollicking kind of, we do a rollicking R&B traditional. If we do religious music, like O Holy Night or something, it's because we like the song.
Exactly.
As I said, we're not proselytizing. We're just trying to do fun, great music, and
right.
you hope people enjoy it.
Right. Well, I have seen you perform, by the way, and I saw you perform at the Count Basie Theater several years ago, and then I've heard you play, of course, at your own restaurant in Asbury Park with Bobby B a few times.
And
I really enjoyed it when actually at J.T. Bowen's CD release where you got up and you spoke. And of course, with your radio show, too. I know that you're
yes.
very quick-witted. I'm like, oh, let me see. And then I don't really get all nervous about, maybe a little bit, because I know what to do about that. Then I just, okay, on the knees, I just ask God. I say, okay, God, be with me, be with Tim, and have it be a really wonderful, laid-back, fun show. You know, and interesting, informative, and above all else, a fun, fun, fun show, because that's what my show is about. And so it's really very exciting to have you telling me and telling everyone else about your life and your, you know, who inspired you. And it's amazing, like, all that you do. I might be the same age as you. I'm not really sure. But I don't know where you get the energy.
Well, I'm up there.
I'm up there, too. I don't look it. I always go, I don't look it, but I'm up there.
Oh, I think I'm looking it.
That picture I used, I thought that was great. I took that exact same picture, too, at J.T. Bowen's.
People say,
that's when you got up and talked.
People say they're getting old. They said, I'm not getting old. I've arrived. I have arrived at old. I'm here.
You look really wonderful. But, okay, I'll tell you how old I am. You don't have to tell me how old you are. And the only reason I say it, like, I'm going to stop doing it when I get up one morning and I look in the mirror and I go, oh, my God, because this happened to my mother. It was like she looked young so many years. In fact, my mother was almost 87 when she passed away and she got pneumonia, or she would have lived to be over 100, I'm sure. She was Irish-German, that German stock. But anyway, I just turned 69 years old. Now, would you believe that?
Well, you beat me because I just turned 68, so there
See?
We are.
Yeah, and
so
nobody
graduated
believes
from
it.
High school the same. We graduated from high school the same year because as I said to you earlier, I started a year early. So you graduated from high school in 1965.
That's right. That's right.
Well, there you go. And little did we know we'd be on the radio all these years later.
I know it. Well, little did I know that I would be on the radio, but at all. But after I released my first three songs from a CD, well, I had 12 songs. I finally did the 12-song compilation, but the minute it was released, and I did the, I had the Nashville Players do the music behind. I didn't even send them my recorded. I had the songs recorded already, but I just sent my voice singing, not even playing the guitar. I had this producer that said, oh, just do this. Send me, just sing it, and I'm going to send it to Quad Studio and have the Nashville Players put the music to it. I thought, oh, that's an interesting concept. Well, it worked, and it worked really well because 2 days after the release, I was called by the Joey Reynolds Show in New York City, and his woman, Myra Channing, called me and said, Joey Reynolds wants you, and he wants you to bring your guitar and sing that song, Indecision. Well, the song Indecision has been in the top 10 Reverb Nation consecutive for over 3.5 years now, and it's just local. It's country rockabilly. But anyway, to make a long story short, I was a troubadour. Like, I never had a band, and I was raising children, you know, I have two daughters. But I love music, and I grew up under the auspice or on the coattails. My brother says, if you think you're going to make it on my coattails, forget it. My brother's Billy Ryan, you know, the guitar man, and he's second
of
on
course.
The monument now. You know who he is, right? And I grew up in that, and then I left here in my early 30s and went to California, and I took a one-way ticket, and I was there 28 years. I'm back in New Jersey 12 years. I came back to take care of my mom. So, to do my daughterly duty.
That sounds like a country western song right there.
I know. I promised her. I thought, why did I tell my mother I would come back here? I had a 5-bedroom house in California. I was so happy. All my friends are still there. I mean, I have friends here, too, but I have lots of friends in California, San Diego. I was right near La Jolla. Like, I was in Carlsbad, California.
Oh, wow.
And, oh, the weather. But I went back, and I don't want to live there anymore. And my friends are saying, we want to get out of here. Are you kidding? We love it, but it's too crowded. It's like gridlock because they only have the old 101 and the I-5. Anyway, I got off track here. Tim, okay, so now tell me when the holiday – well, first of all, we didn't talk enough. Okay, so I wrote it in the promo, everybody. Please show up. It's going to be in Long Branch, and it's March 11th. I want to do the promo now because I looked at the time already. We have like 5 minutes left. I always go over, and they never cut me off, which is very nice. I appreciate that. But you're going to be – given this wonderful honor, and it's going to be Friday, March 11th at Ocean Place Resort and Spa, and that's just
right.
up north a little bit of Pier Village. And they
yeah,
didn't
it's pretty
put
much
though,
our next door neighbor.
Yeah, they didn't put what time it was though. Can you tell us what time the event
I think it's
starts?
The usual. I think it's the usual. I think it's 7 o'clock.
7 p.m. Okay, so
yeah, I'm not sure myself. To be honest with you.
Okay, 7 p.m. All right. And that sounds like a wonderful event. I've been to other events there, and they always do a wonderful job there. So other than that, is there anything that – well, the Shirleys. Tell me about the Shirleys. You know, I met the Shirleys, I believe. It was at – I've met them twice, and I took their picture when they were in all of their – there's three of the girls, right?
Yep.
And they wear the red. I want to make sure I have the right group. And they wear their hair up kind of in the bouffant on the top and then down long. Is that the Shirley?
Sometimes. That may not be them. We started – there were actually four originally. I have a mother-daughter duo, Dolores Holmes, who was one of the iconic singers in the Asbury area, you know, in one of Bruce's original bands and sang with him over the years. She and her daughter, Leon, started it with me, and Dolores unfortunately passed away a number of years ago, but Leon still does it. And then Amy Broza, who we refer to as my band wife, she keeps me moving forward and keeps me grounded. And then the delightful Maureen McCrank is the third
Shirley.
Yes,
I know her, and I know her sister.
It's been a remarkable
as well.
Experience. Yeah, we don't even know how long we've been doing this, but we figure it's around 15 years, something like
right.
that. And I'd never had that experience before because they are not, you know, people think they're my backup singers, and they're not. They're front singers. We present it like one band, and they all
right.
do their individual songs. It's not them backing me. We all take turns backing each other.
Leon is a wonderful
yeah.
person. I met her at your club. She was sitting at the bar, and I was too. And she was going to sit in with Mark and one evening, and we just became fast, admirers of each other. And she's a very warm, friendly,
yeah.
loving person.
Yep,
and so I told her, I keep talking to her about, you got to come on my show, girlfriend. You got to come on. So, but I only do 2 shows a month. I have about 100 cards. In a box, because I was like going out promoting, talking to everybody in Asbury. Once my mother passed away, I took about 6 months off, and then I came full force into, I finished my recording, my CD, and then that night when I was on Joey Reynolds, I decided I need to be a broadcaster. I mean, I enjoyed it so much. And so before you know it, I was invited, actually. I was watching an infomercial on my laptop, and it was Gene Pirro, and he's going, this message is for Nancy Ryan. If you're out there, we want you to come to Hamilton Radio. I almost fell off my chair because Backstreet Radio and Rockin' Tommy and Danny Coleman, Rock on Radio, they all wanted me to do shows with them, not with them, but like in addition or before them or with their
yes.
radio station. And so I went with Hamilton, which was, I did a little investigating. They were the longest running and the number one. So, of course, I went with them, and it was wonderful. And I got so much experience with them. And now here I am, you know, 3.5 years later and enjoying every moment of it. So,
that's great.
Yeah. And, gosh, is there anything you would like to, say? Tell me when the Holiday Express events start. Do you have dates for that? Is
well,
it normally?
Yeah, we basically our actual season. I mean, we do fundraisers. We do have a golf outing in the summer, and people can go to holidayexpress.org for all the information. And we have a great,
great
clam bake on the beach in September. It's always the second Sunday in September. And so we do that right next to our restaurant in Pier Village, the Pier House. But basically our season starts earlier and earlier every year because, as I said, we did 81 events last year, and we're going to do 90 this year.
Oh,
and they
my.
Have to be sort of jammed. So we started last year, I think it was November 9th. And quite frankly, a lot of the places we go to early on don't, they're not necessarily cognizant of what the exact date is. And they're just
right.
happy to have a party. And, you know, I don't
exactly.
want to make it sound, I don't want to be dismissive
mm-hmm.
sounding about it, but they, you know, they're just happy to have the party. And we go from last year was November 9th to December 24th. We always finish on Christmas Eve. And we traditionally go to a place called St. John's Soup Kitchen up in Newark, which is
oh,
the first
boy.
Event.
Right.
But we did that. That was our closing event the very first year, 23 years ago. So we're up there, and we sing to and feed about 700 people. And I wouldn't refer to them necessarily as homeless, but they're home challenged, let's put it that way. And,
right.
you know, really street people. And at the same time, we're at two other locations, one down in Asbury and one also another one in Newark. And so
right.
we see... I don't know what the number actually is. I never really added up, but we probably see close to 2,000 people on Christmas Eve, and
I think
that wraps
is
up the
just,
whole thing.
That is just really outstanding, and I have always been into volunteering, and I have had, like, and, I mean, I definitely am going to go to your HolidayExpress.org page and learn more about it, and it's almost like 90 shows. You're on tour. I mean, it's like every year you do
basically.
A 90-day tour. I mean, that's unbelievable.
I could only do about half of them because a lot of them take place obviously at the same time, or we couldn't do 90 in 40 days, you know. But
right,
it's funny.
Right.
It used to be more exhausting than it is now because, for me personally, because I'm able now just to really concentrate on just doing the show, whereas in the early days we were all running around trying to get the food together and get present. I got to go play and I'll come back now.
Right.
Now I'm just in the band. And
yeah, that's great.
You know, the old adage of it's better to give than receive has never been more true than in the world of Holiday Express, because the truth of it is we give, all right, but we receive like crazy. We do.
Oh, I know.
The people we see give us so much back that it almost seems wrong in its own way that we feel, you know, so good about things when you come out of that. It eradicates any feelings of feeling sorry for yourself. I'll tell you that because when you spend 40 days with people who are basically on the edge at best, or many people who from the moment they came into this world had no chance. I mean, they were just either born with, you know, serious birth problems and whatever
right,
the reasons were, or
like
things that,
or they
were in car accidents, or they got a disease, or
right.
whatever it is that puts them
right.
in these places. There they are, and the level of optimism and positivity that we see, and I know that we inspire some of it. It would be disingenuous for me to suggest that I don't know that, but it dwarfs anything we think we bring to the party. I've always said my job is to make sure that all of our volunteers get paid. And we have four employees, that's it. And then we've got, as I said, close to 1,000 volunteers. And
right.
when we all get back in the bus and we ride home, that's when they all get paid. They sit back there and I think they say, you know, I'm glad I did that. Because a lot of people take their annual vacations in the month of December so they can do these events.
Right, exactly.
And they would rather do that. You know, they use up a lot of personal days, and we have a lot of companies who are very generous, allowing some of our performers and other volunteers to come to these things and not charging them for a work day, you know,
that they don't
subtract it from what they would normally get. So
it's
been, we've had wonderful corporate partners, you know, through the years. Citibank was great to us, and now it's Investors Bank has been just magnificent. Now I'm going to start naming people. I better be careful. Because there's a lot of
right,
them.
Right, right. The
I'm
list
gonna,
is probably way too long for you to remember. That's how I feel about my nonprofits now.
Out.
But listen, since I've had you on the show, and every nonprofit of mine that I have on my show, I mean, that's, I only have my, you know, who I don't promote anyone that hasn't been on my show that's a nonprofit. But I'd like to ask you if you would like to be announced at the end of every one of my shows as being a nonprofit organization, because consider Holiday Express to be a nonprofit organization?
Oh, sure. Oh, no, we're a fully registered 501c3 with the whole thing.
Right, right.
Beginning.
That's what I thought. Because I'll quickly give you a list, and I'd love to take a number 9, and then I have to stop for a while because it's so many that I'm going to have to do definitely an hour show, and I'm not prepared to do an hour show right now from my home,
okay.
But I probably will start doing that. But just to let you know, when I first started radio, one of my first few guests, I was pleased to have, and it just happened. It's like synchronicity or just fate, just the way people were coming into my life just through Hamilton Radio, the way it happened that I ran into people and started having people. So I've had already, and you'll be added to this list, Minister Steve, who's with Tent City of Lakewood, Gregory and Karen Nixon, who are with Helping Hands of New Jersey, Allison Saho, who my friend who is with City of Angels, it's a recovery radio show, my friend Beverly Cruz, who's right here. She used to be Towels for Tenderness, but now it's called Hit the Streets for the Homeless. They go out in the state of New Jersey and New York City. In fact, I make scarves, handmade scarves, like 15, 20, 30 of them every year to donate. I love that. I had Michael Schwartz, who is Hometown Heroes. I had the director of the food bank, the Monmouth Ocean County Food Bank, Carlos Rodriguez. And the SPCA was one of my most recent. And then I just took on, when I promoted JT at his CD release, I was informed of another nonprofit that I was so happy to take on, and it's Paul A. Ressler, and he's the president and CEO of Tupac, and that's the Overdose Prevention Agency Corporation, which is phenomenal because they're trying to get that medication, I'm not sure how to pronounce the name, but it's a medication that can reverse a person that's in overdose. They can give them the shot and it can save their lives. So I would be very happy to add you as number 9 is my lucky number anyway. Number
sure.
9, I'd love to put Holiday Express on here. Slash, it would say Tim McClune. So,
okay.
And after how should I put that? Should I put Tim McClune,
yes,
founder of Holiday Express? Okay, great.
That would be great.
Great. Okay. It's happening. It's happening. Oh, it's been absolutely.
Well, thanks very much, Nancy. I appreciate the time.
You know, it has been my pleasure. Like I said, I've been wanting to have you on the show for quite a while. I've enjoyed immensely learning about you. I can't wait to call my friend and tell her, guess who was on my show? My friend Beverly. Yeah, it's been great. I don't know. You kind of left me speechless. I love your stories, especially, you were so fortunate to have the childhood that you did, because not all of us grow up in so many, such a loving and supportive. But we all have our own path, and thank God, I think, no matter what path it is, as long as we get to this place of being a giver and caring about other people, having a compassionate soul and a love for humanity, then we're winners, We're winners today. We're on the right side of the fence, so to speak. That's how I see it anyway. Thank you so much for your time.
Nancy. Thank you, Nancy Ryan.
Yeah, and I'm going to be in touch with Virginia because, we did talk a little, and I said, look, if I can be of any help, I'm already promoting the Supper Club, so, just let me know, and I'm here, and I'm going to look at that, and I don't know, you never know. I don't know if I'm too old to get involved at Holiday Express at this point, but I certainly will let you know if I get extra B12 shots. All right, you take care. Goodbye,
you too.
Tim.
Thanks, Nance.
Hey,
bye.
I'll see you around town, okay? Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay, folks, that was the wonderful Tim McClune, and I was so happy to have him on the show. It was so interesting and informative, and I learned a lot, and that's what I'm into, learning new things about people that I see that I didn't know. And I do enjoy so much the Supper Club in Asbury Park and the one in Pier Village, too. I actually went up to the one in Pier Village, and I sang a few songs with Rob Dye when he did the open mic there. So I guess I'm not going to say, well, yeah, I was going to say without further ado, I'm going to end the show because my time is up and I don't like to take advantage and go over time. I think this is good. I'm getting better at listening, hitting topic, and I got all my nonprofits in, and actually I'm so pleased to add Holiday Express founder, Mr. Tim McClune of McClune's Supper Club in Asbury Park. Everybody have a wonderful week. I have another show coming up really soon. I have to learn how to say, no, I'm sorry, I can't do a show next week because I need 2 weeks in between each show with all the promotion that I do. But I am going to have another show soon. In fact, I have three in March. Where am I? I'm lost. I have three shows in March. So I have a lot of work to do. Goodbye, everybody. God bless. This is Nancy Ryan, Ryan Rocks at Asbury Park Style, live talk radio at its best.